This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome to another episode of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I want to start the broadcast today by reading a verse out of the Bible. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word, be firm, most of the, the older translations use the word steadfast. We don't say that word a lot in this day and age, but it means steady, firm. We live in a crazy world, and there's a lot of churches that veer off to the left or veer off to the right. And there's a need for steadiness, somebody to chart a straight, steady course. It's always what I liked about Billy Graham. I always knew that no matter what happened, there's a few people on this earth who you could trust. In fact, the first sermon I ever preached, I was 14 years old, and was asked to preach for Youth Sunday at our church. And I heard of a song that a teenager wrote many, many decades ago. But the title of the song was, I Would Be True, For There Are Those Who Trust Me. And the whole point of that song was, I want to live a life that's immovable and steady. One that is going to last and not get off track. That's always been my prayer. So I want to play a couple of songs as we start out this show that sort of talk about that concept of staying true, staying on course. The first one I recorded on my most recent CD called Living in the Shadow is called Hand on the Plow.
I've got my hand on. There's a purpose for it all, and a mission to fulfill, and I intend to heed the call, and do my Father's will. There are times when I grow weary, I wipe the sweat from my brow.
the day is almost over. The next song I want to play is a sort of a story song about two friends who get together after many years. The way this song kind of worked out in my head was there are two guys, and they come to a fork in the road, and one of them has decided to follow Christ. The other one is a cynic and doesn't think it's going to last with his friend, and he basically has the idea, we'll see how this turns out. Well, they get together many years later, and this is the conversation between these two guys. It's called A Simple Faith.
How did it all turn?
Some of you that have been following me on my Facebook page or my Facebook Live mini concerts every Thursday, by the way, some of you might not know about that, but every Thursday afternoon at 3:30, I sit at my piano in my living room and I sing five or six songs, many of them mine, but many of them old, old standards. But I've been talking about our good friend, Paul Mooter, from Spokane, Washington, who has been in a life and death struggle with COVID for the last several weeks. He is getting better. We're so happy about that. But I want you to continue to pray for my friend Paul. We had Paul and his wife Sandy on the show in the spring of 2021, and they brought the guitar out and we gathered around a keyboard and did some songs. Paul did a song from the singer Barry McGuire. And I just want to play what Paul sang last spring, and I want you to lift him up in prayer. We want to see him well again.
You're going to sing us a song. We're going to sing a few songs. This is a Barry McGuire song. And I'm supposed to give you a C chord, and we go from there.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is gentle, love is kind. Love is giving, and it's not blind. Love is choosing for the right, rejecting. Shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Keeping his commands. Great love hath no man that he lay down his life for a friend. Love never ends. Thou shalt love the Lord thy strong.
nation suffering long.
That was our friend Paul Mooter singing a song that we recorded last spring when he came to visit us. Paul's been in a serious battle with COVID, and I want us to just say a prayer right now for him. Father in heaven, we lift up Paul to you. I thank you for him. Thank you for our dear brother and friend. He needs you to touch him, and he needs to be healed. And so we simply ask you to raise him up off of that sick bed and let him walk and run and sing again. I thank you because I know that you're listening to us right now, and I know that you love Paul. He's your child, Lord. So we ask you that the day will come when Paul will be able to come back on this show and talk about what you've done in his life and sing another song. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I really like about doing this show is when we can bring friends in who will sing live. A few weeks ago, we had a wonderful singer named Wanda Vereen. She and her husband Mike were our guests on one of the shows. And Wanda just has a great voice, and I just want to play a song by her and a duet we did together. She did a great job on the old classic by Thomas Dorsey, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. I want to play that now. Why do I think you and I are going to sing that duet now?
Amen. Yes.
This is such a treat to have both of you here today. And Wanda, I've always admired your singing voice. With me, I pray that God give me an audience that doesn't know the difference. But with you, your voice is, in my opinion, stellar. We're just picking an old song or two out here, and I just love this song. This was Martin Luther King's favorite song, by the way, and he asked Mahalia Jackson before he died that if he died before her, if she would sing it. It was written by Thomas Dorsey, who was a blues piano player back in the 1920s or 30s. He played for Ma Rainey. There's a movie about Ma Rainey out last year. But his wife died giving birth to their child, and the child died, and his heart was just broken. And in that dark time, he wrote this classic song.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am and lead me home. dream, precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost
first one more time.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, precious Lord, and lead your child home.
Beautiful, beautiful. Did you want to do a duet or not?
Sure. I've always wanted to sing with you.
This is an Andre Crouch song. I was privileged to know him. He's a wonderful man. This is what he wrote.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
No more dying.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. Going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Not gonna cry either.
No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Soon
and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
I know that
soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Oh,
hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah. I've been thinking about heaven lately. I've had some friends and loved ones go there in the last year. So I want to sing you a song I wrote years ago when I was thinking about my sister who died when I was 13 years old. I'm thinking tonight of a faraway place, a place where I've never been. But I've read about it, soon its beauty I'll see. I'm counting the days until then. Each day brings me closer, just a little while, and I'll be crossing over, patiently waiting, anticipating. Until then, I'm counting the days. Seen for a while, but the memories cheer me each day, and I have the chance to be with them again, and nothing will keep me away. Oh, closer, closer, each day brings me closer, just a little while. Oh, and I'll be crossing over, patiently waiting, anticipating. Until then, I'm counting the days. Until then, I'm counting the days. Like I said, I've got heaven on my mind lately. Been thinking about it, thinking about what the Bible says about it. And I'm here with my buddy named Buddy. And you ever wonder what heaven's going to be like, Buddy?
Sure, I think we all do.
That's good to know. So I want to talk about heaven a little bit. If I were to write a book, it would be Heaven for Dummies. I just want to share a little bit what the Bible says about heaven. First of all, not everybody that dies RIPs, in other words. I see people on the internet, RIP. Not everybody's going to RIP. So we're talking about the place God has prepared for those who love him. There's another place prepared for the devil and his angels, for those who don't love him. But there's a lot of misconceptions about heaven. I'm going to just speak about one or two questions that people have. First of all, people many times think that when you die, you just go to sleep for a long time. And you just are unconscious till the second coming, and then all the bodies will be raised. We'll have new bodies. Now, the Bible is clear that there is a point in history where we will all have new bodies. But what happens when you die right now? The Bible is very clear that you are conscious and that you go to a place which some people call paradise. It's like an intermediary place, but our spirits are there, our souls are there, but we don't have bodies. It's not the final destination. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." When Paul was talking to the Philippians, he was approaching death, or he thought he might be getting close to death, and he said, and this is in the first chapter of Philippians, verses 21 to 24, Paul basically said, "I'm really torn right now, because part of me wants to go to heaven, and part of me wants to be useful on earth to help other people." And he said, "I'm torn." And then he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me read that whole verse to you, that whole passage. That's 21 to 24, chapter 1. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." So he's saying to die was gain. It's better. I could go and be with Christ. So you're not going to sleep. You're going to be with Christ. You're going to be conscious. Billy Graham said before he died, he said, "There will come a day when I die and people will say, 'Billy Graham is dead.'" He said, "Oh no, I will be more alive than ever when that happens." So we go, according to the Bible, instantly into the presence of the Lord when we die. It's great joy, great happiness. The other thing is that the Bible is clear that we will be with Jesus. We will see him. We will be with him. Even though we don't have a body yet, our soul, our consciousness, we will be there with him. Another question that people have, buddy, is that I've heard people say this. Well, will we recognize people? Will we recognize each other when we go to heaven? And I think the Bible is very clear. Yes, we will. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember, and he was praying, and Moses and Elijah came down from heaven to talk to him. When the disciples woke up and saw what was going on, they knew who the different ones were. I know some people are really worried, well, I won't know anybody there. According to this, they knew exactly who Moses was. They knew who Elijah was. When Jesus told the story of the rich man and the beggar, Lazarus, when Lazarus died, the Bible said that he was taken up to heaven and he was with Abraham, and Abraham was comforting him. The rich man went down to hell, and there for a while he was able to glimpse over and he could see what was going over there, and he recognized Lazarus. So we will recognize each other in heaven according to the scriptures. The greatest thing about it is that we will be and see Jesus. Think about that. we will actually see him. Paul said, we see now in a glass darkly, but then face to face. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Some people argue about heaven. They say, well, heaven's going to be a renewed earth because the Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth. Some people say that. Some people say, no, it's a different place. But the main thing about it is that we will be with Jesus, and it doesn't matter to me where it's going to be as long as the big deal, being with Jesus, is there. I think I've told this story. I've told it many times. D.L. Moody had a story that he told about a little girl whose mother had died, and the little girl was taken off to her aunt's house when her mother was very sick toward the last part of her life. The mother died and the little girl didn't know it, and so a long time later, the little girl started missing her house. She kept asking her aunt, could she go back to her house? So finally the aunt decided to take her there. And when she got into the house, she just started looking around everywhere. It didn't take but about 5 minutes, and the little girl came and says, well, where's mom? And then and only then was when the aunt told her, well, your mom is in heaven. Your mom died. And the little girl immediately said, well, I don't want to be here. The only reason I wanted to come here was that I thought mom was going to be here. I'm ready to go to your house now. And to me, that's what heaven's going to be. It's the great thing about heaven is not the golden streets and all of that, or even the loved ones we will see, but it's being with Jesus, not just by faith, but really being there with him. I was thinking about that one time, and this little song came. I want to play it. It's called Kalamazoo. We're talking about life after death because I've got heaven on my mind. I think there was a song one time called Heaven on My Mind. Conway Twitty had a song called I've Got Linda on My Mind, but I think there was one called Heaven on My Mind. When I was a kid, there was a song that says, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. So, buddy, have you ever wondered what we're going to look like on the other side? Am I going to look like an old man?
I think you're going to have that body you've always dreamed of.
I have a friend who's a mortician here in town. I don't know if they use that word anymore. That's such a morbid word, but I guess mortician work isn't morbid, technically. But I pulled him over one time at a funeral. I've known him since he was a teenager, and I said, hey, man, you know, when I die, I want you to be the one who molds me or shapes me to look good in the casket. And I said, I don't care what you got to do. I don't care how much of makeup, how much of chiseling. I just want one thing. When they open that casket, I want to look exactly like George Clooney. He smiled. He walked away. About a half hour, 40 minutes later, he was getting ready to leave, and I pulled him back over. I said, listen to me. You got to remember what I said. Think of two words. Brand this. Tattoo this in your mind when you think of my death. George Clooney. And he reached over and he whispered in my ear two words. You know what he whispered, buddy?
No idea, Lawrence.
He said, Lawrence, remember two words. Closed casket. Anyway, you know, you wonder what you're going to look like. I've heard people say, well, what if I've been married twice? What if my wife died and I got married again? They asked that question to Jesus about heaven. Who's going to be married to who? Jesus said something that has really troubled some people. He said, in heaven, you won't be married. You'll be like the angels in heaven. Well, some people think, well, I'm not even going to know my family. We're not even going to remember we were married. I don't really think that's what that's saying. But I think it's kind of like my class. I went to school, as many of you know, at this little school. We had 20 in our class when we graduated. But we still get together. We get together now. It's been 50-something years. It's 54 years since we graduated. And we get together. We have the greatest time. And we think about little things that happened when we were kids. We still remember the great times, but we're different. We've grown older, and we're adults now. We aren't the kids on the playground. I think heaven's going to be kind of like that. I think we'll remember our friends. I think we'll remember who we were married to. I think we'll still be close to our family, but it won't be exactly like it was here on earth. So, heaven. There's an old song, everybody wants to go there, but nobody wants to go there right now. We stopped the tape for a moment, and my friend Buddy informed me I had the words all wrong, that Kenny Chesney did a song. So Buddy's going to sing it a cappella right now to my audience.
Yeah, Lawrence, it's supposed to go like this. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Beats the other place, there ain't no doubt. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. That tune is not exactly right, but you get the idea.
He's trying to show me up as a singer. That's what he's trying to do. Here's a song I wrote, which I almost threw away because it was about a little girl who went to heaven, and everybody thought it was so sad, and nobody liked it. But then I was at a funeral. I was asked to do a funeral for a couple that had been married a long, long time, and I was thinking about them, and I changed the words, and suddenly people like this song. This is a song that you either like or hate, but some of you will like it. So it's called The Final Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. 60 years she was his wife. Now the memories kept flooding his mind. She had been his closest friend, faithful to the end, and yet he knew that it was almost time. Her strength was fading fast, and in his heart he knew she couldn't last. Then the moment arrived, he bowed his head in prayer as he touched her silver hair. Then he kissed his true love goodbye. Friends and loved ones came to give honor to her name. The service had come to an end. Then the old man sitting there, he raised his hand in the air. He said, "Pastor, I'd like to reply. As sad as this is, we've just got to remember this. We're saying the final goodbye. There's a land beyond the river, on the other side of forever, where life will never come to an end. And goodbye will be a word never to be heard. There'll be no reason to ever say it again. Just that old forgotten term, never to return. And tears will never fall from our eyes. The next time we meet, we'll be walking golden streets. Oh yes, we're saying the final goodbye. So let the tears flow, let the grief show. You know it's all right to cry. Just remember, it's the final goodbye.
I want to tell a little story that happened in my life before we do our last song. And we're doing this from South Carolina. And, buddy, have you ever come face-to-face with an alligator?
Sure have.
You ever kill one?
No, I have not.
Well, this is alligator country. I had a close friend who was actually my cousin. And there's no one that's been closer to me other than my wife than my sweet cousin. We were born 6 months apart. We were like brothers and sisters. We grew up together, learned how to swim together, went to the school in the same class, had the same circle of friends. She was a piano player too, and in our teenage years, we played the organ and piano together at our church. And I don't know if I could have been closer to anybody else. But I was asked to speak at her funeral. She died a couple of days before her 70th birthday. And my mind kept going back to one of the most memorable moments that Becky and I ever had together. Now, you know I have ADD, buddy, so this story seems like it's not at all related to what we've been talking about. But you got to wait till the end. We're going to reel it in at the end. The night before I went to college in Indiana, by the way, if you've not listened to this show, I was brought up in the cotton area of South Carolina. My dad was a farmer, grew up out in the country. The night before I went to college, I had preached at my folks' church. We had a great service. And I went up to my uncle and aunt's house a couple of miles away to tell them goodbye because I'd be moving to Indiana the next day. And, of course, Becky was their daughter. And we were sitting around talking. And Becky said, "It's so hot." It was very hot. It was early August, I think. And she said, "Let's go swimming. Let's go swimming one last time for old time's sake." And her father had a pond. And he had this crazy idea when we were teenagers that he would make his own little RFD Riviera, we called it. He went out and got a bunch of sand and made a shore, and he built this platform on 55-gallon drums. I don't know how he did it, but he had four 55-gallon drums and a large wooden platform, and he had an anchor to the bottom. Of course, that's where anchors anchor at. And it was great. You know, you could swim out there and dive and all. And I said, "Becky, I think I had a suit on." And I said, "I don't have a bathing suit." Well, my aunt went and found these extremely large pair of jeans that just swallowed me alive. But we found a rope or something and just tied it. And I had to roll the legs up over my knees. It was a monstrosity. I looked really strange. I looked like bumper cars with a big bumper around it. So we go to the pond. We dive in. And we go to the raft, the platform. And we sit there and we reminisce, and it was just a great time of looking back over the years. Well, we had forgotten one important ingredient of that pond. There was a resident alligator who lived in the pond. He stayed over in the corner around some tree stumps going into a swamp. But anytime we went swimming in the daytime, we could see these two eyes across the pond in the distance. He left us alone. He did come out one time when people were grilling hot dogs and got very aggressive. But we tolerated him. He might have been a woman. I don't know if it was male or female. He was just called the alligator. So here we are, you know, we're sitting there on the raft. At night, you can't see anything. And I said, "Becky, I got to go to Indiana in the morning. And my parents will be, you know, worried, where in the world am I? So we need to get back." And we're thinking, okay, the mosquitoes are kind of bad anyway. So we're getting ready to dive into the water. And all of a sudden, my cousin Becky turned to me, and she had this look of horror. It was like the kid on Home Alone. She put her hands on her face, and this terrified statement. She looked at me. She said, "Oh no, the alligator! We had totally forgotten there was an alligator in the pond." And so we figured he probably prowls around at night. He might be swimming around right now. He might be right there. But we can't see it all night, so we didn't know what to do. So we finally dove in, and we were like Olympic swimmers. We had never swam so fast in my life. So when we got to the shore, we laughed our heads off. It was just a great moment. I'm getting to the point now. We went back to my uncle and aunt's house. I changed clothes, and Becky and I walked in front of her house, and I hugged her, and we both began to sob, just surprised as we were sobbing. The reason, looking back, that we were crying is that we knew it would never be the same again. I was going to Indiana. We were going to go down different paths. We'd see each other every now and then, but life as we knew it was over. Here's the point, though. I moved away, and we saw each other about once a year, once or twice a year. She got married. She had kids. I got married. I had kids. And we would keep in touch off and on. But there came a point when I moved back to South Carolina 27 years later. And for a while, I lived 3 miles down the road. And we just picked up right where we left off. And we were close again. We saw each other a lot again. It was different, but it was a wonderful time. And I felt like we were at that chinaberry tree when she died. There's coming a moment when we'll be back together again. We'll be in heaven, and we'll start over, and it'll be great for all eternity. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Thank God. It's so much more than I'd hoped for. It is so beautiful. Can it be true that I am here after those years of waiting so long? Now I'm home, and it's so beautiful. And oh, what joy when I first opened up my eyes, and I've only begun to see. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, hearts have not known all the great things God has prepared for those who love Him. Sound strange, pardon my zeal, but I am filled with wonder and awe, and so will you, your first glimpse of heaven.